Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 26, and there are 25 verses in that chapter. And then we're doing also in the series of dealing with message number 10. And we have a couple of letters to read also. And so right now, let's all ask the Lord to anoint the service. Father, anoint this tape. Let it destroy the flesh of the hearer. Let it destroy the carnal mind, the carnal spirit, and let it deaden all that your word, your spirit, deadens. Your spirit is the cross, Lord, that we must walk in and under and with. And, Lord, we know that your word, your spirit, mortifies the deeds of the flesh and the thoughts of the flesh. Lord God, we ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Okay, Michelle, come forward and read your two letters here, and then we'll get into the scriptures.
The first one is that letter from Sue Scarcello to you. It says, regarding a man that Tommy does business with. Tommy and I have been witnessing to this man and his wife for the past 2 to 3 months, and they have been given tracts to read. Today, while I was at work at the market we go to in Oklahoma City, Jeanette, the wife, came up to me and we were talking. She saw the cross that I was wearing, and she commented on how beautiful it was. I told her that this cross is called the New Jerusalem cross, and the stones represent the stones that are in the foundations of the wall of the city, the New Jerusalem, the city that's coming down out of heaven from God.
It's a bride adorned for her husband, which is Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And I told her the ones that will be there are the ones that allowed Christ to live in them. After explaining this to her, she got so overjoyed to hear that she started to cry. Then I told her that confessing the Lord Jesus Christ with her mouth and by true repentance from her heart comes salvation. Then she proceeded to tell me about her son, who has been in Iraq for almost 3 years. She said she heard something may have happened where he was, and she hadn't heard from her son in a week and didn't know if something had happened to him. I told her that if she would just put the Lord first in her life and trust him, that the Lord would work everything out in her life and her son's. I told her that he that loveth mother, father, sister, brother, son, or daughter more than the Lord is not worthy of him, and the Lord has to come first in her life. At this point, I asked her if
the reason that he has to come forth in her life is because if we put him first, then everything good will happen to us and our loved ones. But it's not for the Lord's sake, it's for your sake. Because if you put the Lord first, then the Lord moves for you and does everything for you. Because he can't do it unless you do. That's the way his word, that's the way he has it set up. Okay, then what?
At this point, I asked her if she wanted to get saved and asked Christ to come into her heart. She said yes, and we both knelt down together in the parking lot where we were and said the sinner's prayer together. Several hours later, she received a phone call from her daughter that an email had just came in from her son. She was so overjoyed and excited, and again started crying and thanking the Lord.
See, that happened because she just accepted the Lord. The Lord had it set up, you know, to show her that the blessings immediately start coming. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
She said she was going to email him some of our tracts on the Internet for him to read as soon as she got home. And she has a Messiah book that she is going to send out to him also. Praise the Lord. There is also a man and woman at this same market who love the literature. They have a produce stand, they've been handing out the tracts at their booth, and also include one in the customer's bag after making a purchase.
Right. So this New Jerusalem cross, it has the 12 the stones that were in the New Jerusalem. The stones are called differently. Took months and months of research to find out exactly what stone it is today. It is the example of the stone that's in the New Jerusalem. And it took this saint months and months to find that out. And then finally, we he got the entire thing assembled together to where the Lord gave the saint this plan, because the Lord and this saint want everybody, especially this, to wear, everyone that's a born-again Christian, to wear the New Jerusalem cross. And there's New Jerusalem tie tacks and lapel pins, cufflinks, belt buckles with the cross on it. It's the most authentic and most scriptural Christian jewelry that's ever been created on the face of this earth, because it has to do with the very day that we're living in. And the people that are really members of the New Jerusalem are those that will attend the marriage supper of the Lamb very soon with the Lord, because the Lord is coming back to earth again, and the Lord wants this brilliant, glorious-looking cross to be worn or to be had by every Christian that really belongs to the Lord. So everybody that I've ever seen loves it, and it's such a beautiful conversational piece, because people are going to ask, what is that? I never saw a cross with all the 12 stones on it. And then it's an open door to witness as to what it was, and this woman got prayed through. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the way the saint has made the commercial, okay, before this ever came in. All right, that commercial was done. All right, then where does this next letter come from?
Lagos State, Nigeria, in Africa.
Okay, go ahead.
It says, Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, Calvary greetings to you, your family, and the entire Alamo Christian Ministries members, especially those in the Department of the World Newsletter and Distribution of the Bibles. My prayer for you all is that your good works will not only be for here on earth, but it will be recognized for righteousness for you in heaven, and our Lord Jesus Christ, the owner of the work, should reward you with eternal life promised to us. Amen. I received copies of your newsletters and 6 Holy Bibles, along with the Messiah book. Thank you very much for all these materials. I have distributed it all except for the only copy of the Messiah book, which I like to read myself, and a copy of the Bible. I discovered that the newsletters are not enough. Also, the Bibles. New converts are in love with the Bible, too. Sir, I will appreciate it more and better if I can get 20 dozen or more of the newsletters, plus 100 copies or more of the Bible. Also, I'd like to know how I can be part of the Alamo Ministries, either by having a fellowship in Nigeria or get more involved in the work of the Lord via the Alamo Christian Ministries. Sir, people are longing for your publications here in Nigeria. There is no quantity sent that are too much. When I went to one of the police cells here in Lagos, the Bibles finished and the newsletters too. That is just one station. 3 people were granted bail last week. When I went to one of them at his place, he said, having gone through your publication, he saw the need to surrender to Christ. He said he was in love with the Bible so much that the Holy Spirit started ministering to him the way it has never been before. Later, he was granted bail on account that, legally speaking, he would not have been granted bail on, but God works. Sir, these and many more are challenges to me, and I am prepared to work more and go to more places even outside of my state. I desire more publications and more Bibles from you, sir. While looking forward to receiving from you soonest, please do not forget to let me know how I can get more directly involved. Remain in his good work of righteousness and keep increasing the number of stars in your crown. Keep it up and remain blessed in him. Yours faithfully, A.K.E. from Lagos State, Nigeria, Africa.
Okay, now I know that we always immediately send the literature and the Bibles to people that ask for it. Make sure that all these people that say that people are yearning for it out in the area, that load them down with the literature and Bibles. Load them down. I'm talking to the mailroom right now. Okay, now we have the 26th chapter of 1 Samuel, and with its 25 verses, and so here's verse 1. Go ahead.
David and Saul. David again spares Saul's life. And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon? Verse 2. Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. Verse 3. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. Verse 4. David therefore sent out spies, and understood that Saul was come in very deed. Verse 5. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched, and David beheld the place where Saul lay. And Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of his host, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Verse 6. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. Verse 7. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster, but Abner and the people lay round about him. Verse 8. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. Verse 9. And David said to Abishai, Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?
That's just amazing, you know, how people are betraying pastors today that are really of the Lord. They tell all kinds of lies about them and have them put into prison and everything. And how righteous David is, even though this man, it was evil, and was trying to kill him, and evil in the sight of the Lord, David still did not bring any bad accusation against him, nor would he smite him, because he knew that he was at one time anointed by the Lord. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 10. David said furthermore, As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish.
Right, so David is prophesying, you know, the Lord will take care of him. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not going to touch him.
Verse 11. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster, and the cruse of water, and let us go. Verse 12. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they gat them away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awaked. For they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them.
I remember the deep sleeps that the Lord put on me. That was the day that, the morning, actually, that the Lord gave me the vision of Sue and myself, that we were to be married, and that it was absolutely true. And just before that, he had given her the same visions, only in a different way, that to her, he gave her that I was dressed in a tuxedo, a vision where I was dressed in a tuxedo. She was in a wedding gown, and we were going through this arbor. She said it was so beautiful and that the roses were real big and they were dripping with dew. And to me, he just showed a whole different thing, but he showed me kissing her, and I shoved myself up from my sleep because she was the most godly woman person I'd ever met in my life. And I just didn't, and the Lord said, it's true. There's like puffs of smoke around me, circles of smoke around me while I was wide awake saying, it's true. And he put his hand down into my, the area where my heart is and woke it up because I'd never loved anybody before that time. And I felt the spirit of love and the Lord entering into my soul. And that's happened when I went into a deep sleep after a toothache went away. It kept me up all night. And when the pain went away, I fell sound asleep. And I'd never been in that kind of a deep sleep before. And here comes this picture of Sue lying on a couch. And she had on a velour, long-sleeved pullover and a velour pair of pants, blue. And I walked right, and her hair was done differently. It was cut, and the night before it wasn't. And I went right up to her and knelt down by her side and kissed her, and then it showed the profile I was kissing. And that's when I pushed myself up. I says, no, my God, this is my Bible teacher. And the Spirit was saying as I pushed myself up, it's true, it's true, it's true. And then our profile went into, on like a blackboard, a wrought iron of white, like burning white hot steel, and it started shimmering. And then it sounded like a phone off the hook or something, where it was just vibrating, and it went right in, this image of her and myself went right into my soul and into my heart. And that was an incredible vision. So I know how God puts people into a deep sleep. That's just the thing that the Lord, just when I heard this, and I read this and did a tape on it, and you all typed it up, and that's what we're reading right now, several months ago. And so that's just, every time I read that, I get that same, that just flashes back to me. Okay, keep going.
Verse 13. Then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of an hill afar off, a great space between them.
Between them, meaning between Saul and himself. Saul, his men, and David and his men. They're like standing on two hills or mountains. Okay, then what?
Translation, verse 1 through 13. David and Saul, David again spares Saul's life. Verse 1. Now some messengers from Ziph, Z-I-P-H, came back to Saul at Gibeah to tell him, quote, David is hiding on the hill of Hakilah, H-A-K-I-L-A-H, which overlooks Jeshimon, J-E-S-H-I-M-O-N, unquote. Verse 2. So Saul took the 3,000 of his best troops and went to hunt him down in the wilderness of Ziph. Verse 3. Saul camped along the road beside the hill of Hakilah near Jeshimon, where David was hiding. But David knew of Saul's arrival. Verse 4. So he sent out spies to watch his movements. Verse 5. David slipped over to Saul's camp one night to look around. Saul and his general, Abner, son of Ner, were sleeping inside a ring formed by the slumbering warriors. Verse 6. Quote, will anyone volunteer to go in there with me? Unquote. David asked Abimelech the Hittite and Abishai the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother. Quote, I'll go with you, unquote, Abishai replied. Verse 7. So David and Abishai went right into Saul's camp and found him asleep with his spear stuck in the ground beside his head. Abner and the warriors were lying asleep around him. Verse 8, quote, God has surely handed your enemy over to you this time, exclamation mark, unquote, Abishai whispered to David. Quote, let me thrust that spear through him. I'll pin him to the ground and I won't need to strike twice, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 9, quote, no, exclamation mark, unquote, David said. Quote, don't kill him, for who can remain innocent after attacking the Lord's anointed one? Verse 10, surely the Lord will strike Saul down someday, or he will die in battle, or of old age. Verse 11, but the Lord forbid that I should kill the one he has anointed, exclamation mark. But I'll tell you what, we'll take his spear and his jug of water and then get out of here, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 12. So David took the spear and jug of water that were near Saul's head. Then he and Abishai got away without anyone seeing them or even waking up, because the Lord had put Saul's men into a deep sleep. Verse 13. David climbed the hill opposite the camp until he was at a safe distance. King James Version, verse 14. And David cried to the people and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, answerest thou not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, Who art thou that criest to the king? Verse 15. And David said to Abner, Art not thou a valiant man, and who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king thy lord. Verse 16. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is, and the cruse of water that was at his bolster. Verse 17. And Saul knew David's voice, and said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, It is my voice, my lord, O king. Verse 18. And he said, Wherefore doth my lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done, or what evil is in mine hand? Verse 19. Now therefore, I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord. For they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, Go serve other gods. Verse 20. Now therefore let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel is come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains. Verse 21. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David. For I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool, and have erred exceedingly. Verse 22. And David answered and said, Behold the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it. Verse 23. The Lord rendered to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. Verse 24. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Verse 25. Then Saul said to David, Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Translation, verse 14 through 25. Then he shouted down to Abner and Saul, quote, Wake up, Abner! Exclamation mark, unquote. Quote, Who is it? Unquote, Abner demanded. Verse 15. Quote, Well, Abner, you are a great man, aren't you? David taunted. Where in all Israel is there anyone as mighty? So why haven't you guarded your master the king when someone came to kill him? Verse 16. This isn't good at all! Exclamation mark. I swear by the Lord that you and your men deserve to die because you failed to protect your master, the Lord's anointed! Exclamation mark. Look around! Exclamation mark. Where are the king's spear and the jug of water that were beside his head? Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 17. Saul recognized David's voice and called out, quote, Is that you, my son David? Unquote. And David replied, quote, Yes, my lord the king. Verse 18. Why are you chasing me? What have I done? What is my crime? Verse 19. But now let my lord the king listen to his servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, then let him accept my offering. But if this is simply a human scheme, then may those involved be cursed by the Lord. For you have driven me from my home so I can no longer live among the Lord's people and worship as I should. Verse 20. Must I die on foreign soil, far from the presence of the Lord? Why has the king of Israel come out to search for a single flea? Why does he hunt me down like a partridge on the mountains? Unquote. Verse 21. Then Saul confessed, quote, I have sinned. Come back home, my son, and I will no longer try to harm you, for you have valued my life today. I have been a fool and very, very wrong. Unquote. Verse 22, quote, here is your spear, O king, unquote, David replied. Quote, let one of your young men come over and get it. Verse 23, the Lord gives his own reward for doing good and for being loyal, and I refuse to kill you even when the Lord placed you in my power, for you are the Lord's anointed. Verse 24, now may the Lord value my life even as I have valued yours today. May he rescue me from all my troubles. Unquote. Verse 25, and Saul said to David, quote, blessings on you, my son David. You will do heroic deeds and be a great conqueror. Unquote. Then David went away, and Saul returned home.
Okay, that was 1 Samuel chapter 26, so the 25 verses and the translation. And now we've got some commentary.
26, verse 6. Abishai is the son of Zeruiah, David's sister. He became one of David's great generals. See 2 Samuel 23:18. 26, verse 12. The Lord assists David and attests to his innocence as well as to his anointing by giving him sleep from the Lord. 26, verse 19. Accept an offering. The idea is that if God is behind Saul's wrath against David, Saul should offer a sacrifice to appease God's wrath. Quote, go serve other gods, unquote. Not that David would turn to other gods, but that through Saul's action, he had been cut off from the place of the worship of the Lord and was forced to live in a foreign place. 26 verses 21 through 25. Here is another of Saul's good intentions which he never carried out. 26 verse 24. David does not believe Saul's conciliatory words of consolation. It is in the eyes of the Lord that he wants to be valued. 26 verse 25. Quote, Saul returned to his place, unquote, does not mean that he returned home, but that he continued his pursuit of David. Chapter 27. However, David and Saul never saw each other again. 26 verses 8 through 11. The advice of even loyal friends can sometimes get us into a lot of trouble. Abishai recommended to David the murder of Saul, but David was unwilling to accept the consequences of assassinating God's anointed king or his chosen king. 26 verses 9 through 11. He wisely placed boundaries on the behavior of his men and left Saul alone. He left him alive. David knew that Saul's judgment belonged in God's hands, and he wisely left it there. As we seek reconciliation with people, we may need to give up our tendency to judge others and allow God to be the judge. Of course, we can judge everything by the Word of God. That's what David did. This is an important step in the process of being right with God so that we can be forgiven and for us to remain reconciled to God. Chapter 26, verses 17 through 21. Too little, too late. We hear from Saul's lips words that should have been uttered much earlier. 1. Quote, I have sinned, unquote. 2. Quote, I have been a fool, unquote. And 3. Quote, I have been very, very wrong, unquote. Such honest admissions reflect the concerns of a personal inventory, the basis for repentance, forgiveness, and reconciliation. These are essential parts of a person pleasing the Lord, doing his will.
All right, that was 1 Samuel, chapter 26, 25 verses, translation and commentary. And now this is the 10th in a series of messages regarding dealing with your flesh. Dealing with your flesh. Okay, go ahead with it.
Dealing with the flesh, part 10, summary continued.